One, two, three, four, Medium Talk.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Medium Talk with Rodimus Prime. We have a very special guest today. Actually, he's been on the other spinoff shows and on the regular shows, so you guys should know him. But I guess it's very special because I feel like I'm getting to know this man in a way that I never have before over the past couple of weeks. And it's been interesting. So I said, let me bring this dude on. It's none other than, well, for everybody that's been reading the titles, it's Scarfinger. What's up, Scar? How you doing, dog?
Hey, what's going on? Everybody in premium land over there. What's going on, everybody?
All you rich ass niggas, what is up?
Look, I can't afford it right now. All of a sudden, I got to pay all the bills myself now.
Oh, man. Yeah. We're going to get into that, man. I have so many questions for Scar, man. Basically, the reason I got Scar on the show, this actually happened a couple weeks ago. I was booking guests for the Blackout Tips, and I was asked Scar, I said, hey, you know, we're starting some spinoff shows. You want to, hop on the show tonight? Maybe we'll even talk about doing a spinoff show later. And he's like, oh, not tonight for sure. I got to handle some business. And I'm like, handle some business? What is going on? He's like, yeah, dog, got to handle some business with my wife. Holler at you. And I said, uh-oh, that's never good. Like, there's never a conversation that ends with handling business with the wife unless it's fucking. There's no version of that shit that comes back good. So, from that point, I was just like, you know, Scar and Sherry, obviously, two of my favorite motherfuckers on the internet and shit. One of those, podcasts I listen to. So I feel like when you listen to someone's show, you kind of get to know them anyway. So it was like, if they're having issues and stuff, that's between them and whatnot. And then it started kind of leaking over into Twitter, and then things got really like more serious. And, you know, there's podcasts being dropped without each other on it. There's, little things going on through Twitter and Facebook and stuff. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. So let's start with that first, man. Like, first of all, like, what exactly happened? Cause I read the Tumblr, and I know you're not promoting the Tumblr right now. But I read your Tumblr, cause I saw a post on Twitter about it and kind of got a lot of background on it. But for people that don't know anything, which honestly, I don't think there's a lot of people that don't know anything. I think a lot of people pay attention to this and they scared to say something. But
I've had a lot of people send me DMs. I've had over the past few weeks, it's been a lot of people that sent me DMs.
Yeah.
So here's the story. There's been problems with us for quite a while. I mean, of course, everybody knows about the arguing and stuff like that because we do it on the actual podcast. And I've been saying this whole time, like, everybody loves the arguing. Everybody loves and they think it's funny. They think it's hilarious. But, you know, that shit just really kind of like, it kind of weighs on us.
Mm-hmm.
And, she's been unhappy for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it started with the show.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. It started.
It wasn't the argument over surrogates, was it?
No.
Okay.
No, it started because I started the show. What happened was when I first started the show, I spent a lot of time worrying about the show. I would spend like every night like recording and, you know, I was recording 3-hour shows, like 4 times a week when I first started.
Mm.
And I spent a lot of time away from her and away from Pooh Bear.
Mm-hmm.
We had always been arguers. That's always been the case. We've always been arguers. That shit has always happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I was spending that time working on the show and trying to create something. Because I really started feeling myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It was just one of those things, right? So I really started feeling myself, and it was something that I knew I was good at. And, you know, for the first time in quite a while, it's like, I've said this on the show before, but, like, you know, people don't know that through the podcast, I actually found me. You know what I mean? Like, it was, you know, the Scarfinger is a kind of like a version of me turned up to 11, but it's still me. Mm. And like, I spent so many years just kind of in the background, and I had all of these opinions and all of these things I wanted to say, and I didn't really have a venue for that. Then I started the podcast because another community embraced me, and because of them embracing me, I really went full in to the detriment of my family. Mm. Then she joined the show, and I thought shit was gravy because we were spending that time together and we were working on the show together. So I thought shit was gravy. But you know, I was doing a lot of podcast stuff and a lot of gaming stuff away from them, away from my family. Mm. She came to me and she told me that she was unhappy. Just the arguing and stuff just kind of gets to you. She told me that she was unhappy. And then,
and all this is happening while you're still continuing to do the show together.
Well, if you pay attention, every once in a while we have like these big breaks.
Yeah.
Every single time we have one of those big breaks is because of one of these type of situations.
Oh, so you have like a talk and then it's like, all right, let's back up for the show. Let's concentrate on this marriage and all this other stuff.
Right. You know, that's pretty much what it is. But then, as she told me she was unhappy, that was like a few years ago. During the first year of the podcast. And I was like, all right, I'm willing to step up and I'm willing to, I'm willing to be the man and I'm willing to step up and I want to save my family.
So how long have you guys been doing the show and how long have you guys been like dating / married together and all that stuff?
The show has been going on for it was 3 years in February.
Okay.
How long we've been dating? We've been dating since we were both 15. Okay. We are 33 now.
Okay. Yeah. It's a lot like Karen and I. We started dating when we were 16. So yeah.
So, you know, we spent more than half of our lives together. You know, like I said in the blog, like, you know, I became an adult with her. Mm-hmm. I became a husband for her. I became a father for her. You know what I mean? Like we grew up together, but you know, and she said she was unhappy. And then it all, you know, then I decided that I was going to try. But then a few months later, she came clean and she told me that she had fell for somebody.
Mm. And this is this after the very first time that she said she was unhappy? Or you mean like
this was after that time? I mean, we've had the whole she's unhappy conversation before. Like, mm-hmm. it's happened before all of this, but that time it was really serious.
Now, do you feel like that is like, cause I want, like, as part of my responsibility as a husband, I feel like responsible for someone else's happiness. You know, I think that's kind of what happens when you become family, but ultimately deep down, I can't make someone happy. You know what I mean? Like, I can't.
You know something? I didn't feel that way. Actually, when she told me she fell for the first dude, I call her online relationships because I call her online relationships and her online friendships, with men. Because a lot of the people that listen to the shows and actually talk to us and stuff like that, the majority of them are dudes. There's just not a lot. There's just not a lot of women that are actually a part of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group of them that I believe are the ones that are just pretty much dirty macking, mm-hmm. and I call them the wolves. She embraced the wolves, and then after she told me she was unhappy, I don't think she ever really wanted to embrace me again. Right. She told me that she had feelings with someone else, but it didn't turn into anything, and I felt responsible.
Mm. So that is that kind of. I'm responsible for the happiness, and it's because you kind of do take over that stuff in relationships. And a lot of advice that people give for relationships tells people like, well, it's up to you to make that person happy, and this, you need to change whatever way you need to change. And sometimes I don't know that is something everyone can do.
Right. And it was, she told me that. And then, you know, I mean, she told me she was unhappy. I fought for her. She told me that she fell for this dude. I fought for her. And then, you know, like I said, I don't think it ever turned around. At that time, at that time, we should have gotten some help. Mm-hmm. We should have went to some kind of counseling. We should have read a fucking book or something. You know, like, you know, I did all of this stuff now, but it was too late for me now, like years later.
I got a quick question. Did you feel like, y'all were hiding stuff from the audience, or, cause one thing about your show I always thought was like crazy, and one that made it also awesome, you guys share so much. Like, y'all say shit that I'm like, can't you, isn't that illegal or something? You know, y'all just will share something and I'll be like, man, I don't know if I would say that out loud.
I personally, I don't like hiding anything from my audience. Mm-hmm. I was very clear from the very beginning that, you know, what happens on that podcast is my life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's me. Like I said, Scarfinger is Michael Corbin turned up to 11, but it's still Michael Corbin.
Right.
I embraced being the Scarfinger to the detriment of my family. You know, and then, you know, she was unhappy and stuff, and I tried to make it right. All of the arguing and stuff still just kind of kept happening. And, you know, we just kept plugging along. After a while, I guess she just checked out. Mm-hmm. And that's when, if you look at the Tumblr, I was writing letters to her that I wasn't actually giving her. There is a letter that I wrote her the day after she told me about the other guy.
Mm. Now, how long have you done that? Like, had that practice of writing, and, how long have you, like, written stuff and not given it to her?
Well, there's like little pieces that I would write here and there, mm-hmm. but, really the really writing the letters started happening a few months ago, like in March. Mm-hmm. That's when I really, really started writing like my feelings, because at that point she had, it was very clear she had checked out.
I was not feeling
any love. And when she was showing me love, it felt like it was forced. It didn't mm-hmm. feel genuine, you know. Yeah. But the worst part about the letters is, I would write the letters about how I was feeling, and then I would never go back and look at them again. I completely forgot what I wrote.
So it was more like therapeutic for you. Like, I need to get this out.
Right.
And especially if you feel like you're not being heard, it's almost like I'm getting this out, just because I feel like human beings have to get out their emotions at somehow, or else they just kind of overwhelm you and come out in all kinds of fucked up ways.
Right. So I picked that up because like I said, it seemed like months ago she checked out, and I just started to feel it, and I kept trying to talk to her about it. But every time I tried to talk to her, she was just, you know, she would just lash out because I guess at that point she was already gone.
Now, when you say like you feel like she checked out, she's already gone. Is this affecting you, like, at work? Is this affecting you, you know, with your child? Like, is this affecting other areas of your life? Or is, like, the letter writing type thing just getting all that negative energy out?
I don't think it didn't really affect my job or anything like that until it all fell apart. Mm. And that was literally, it was a month ago. Because we had gotten to a pretty bad argument. And when she came back, she was set on leaving. She was just like, I'm ready to go. Mm. And she wanted to move out. And I was like, hey, I know you want to leave right now. You don't have the means to go. So while you do that, give me time to try to turn this around. Just give me time, because like I said, when she came to me a few times, about wanting to go to counseling. And I told her the same thing that any normal ass nigga would say, like, counseling is for white people. you know what? I actually told the counselors and the therapist that I said that, and they all bust out laughing like that too.
So now did you get counseling? So now you do have a therapist or a counselor or whatever. But are you just going by yourself now at this point?
Yes.
That's ironic.
I'll get to that. She suggested it. We didn't actually, you know, I said it, and then we never actually went. But, you know, honestly, that didn't really stop either one of us from picking up a book. You know what I mean? Like either one of us could have did that or, you know, anything to try to make our relationship better, but neither one of us did anything. And it just, everything just kind of stayed the same. It got worse. I started feeling bad about it. So I was writing because every time I tried to talk to her, you know, she was already checked out and everything that I said or did just made her angry. So she said she wanted to go. And I said, give me a chance to turn this around. And I said, hey, you know, so that's when I realized, you know, I realized she was serious about leaving. She was serious. So I was like, okay, you want to do the counseling now? She was like, nope, because when I wanted to do it, you ain't want to do it. So I'm done with that. So I was like, okay. So I downloaded a program called Marriage Fitness.
Is this like an app or something?
No, it's actual CD thing, from this guy called Mort Fertel. And he does like other stuff. Like he does like teleconferences and all that kind of stuff. And all that shit is really fucking expensive. But so I bootlegged the CDs and, you know, if the CD started working, I would have put the money into one of the bigger packages with the workbook and the teleconferences and things of that nature.
Now that, you know, before you go on, that is a really interesting thing that I have seen and discovered about you. You kind of attack everything, like video games, like you went and got you some strategy guides, like,
the thing for her was I went and got my strategy guide too late.
Yeah, you were stuck on a level and she was ready to just play a different game, but you were like, nah, we can beat this level. We just got to go get, you know, go to IGN.com and get us a walkthrough.
Right. So we did that and we started it, and you know, I was like, I know you know, her big thing was she wanted her space from me, but this, we got a little ass apartment. So it's not like we really could really do the space thing. We're always around each other because, you know, before we had a townhouse and, you know, I could be upstairs, she could be downstairs, whatever. But, you know, that's also how she got connected to the first dude. Yeah.
People say that, oh, I need space from you. But a lot of times they just mean I need space with other people. You know what I mean? Yes. It's like, well, you're not going to be by yourself. You're going to have space with other people, which isn't really space.
That's what I learned. So we did it. We did it for a couple of days. And while I was doing that, she was completely obstinate, that's something I learned from Marriage Fitness. I learned that word obstinate from Marriage Fitness. But she was just completely like anti everything. Even to the point to whereas, she had a little notebook. She was taking notes while we were doing the Marriage Fitness thing. And then afterwards, I went back and looked at her notebook. Only thing she was writing was, I really don't want to do this. I just want to go. Like she was writing that and not actually like engaged in the Marriage Fitness thing.
Completely checked out.
Yeah, she was completely checked out. And I spent so much time like on my knees begging her to give me my chance. I cried and I pleaded. I did more crying and I spent more time on my knees than I ever have in my life.
For people that don't know, you've been to prison. So that's a lot, you know.
Come on, son. I went through all of that because, I mean, I didn't want to lose my family, you know?
Right.
It was one of those things. I didn't want to lose my family. And then she was just completely she just was checked out.
So going back to the beginning, you kind of found like that a lot of this stuff was going on because you looked in her phone, right?
Oh, now, that's what happened next.
So you haven't even looked at her phone yet. No, you are just trying to make this work.
Yeah, I was just trying to make this work and she was just completely obstinate. Wow. And something was, and so one night I asked her, I was like, is there something I don't know? Like, why are you acting like this? Is there something I don't know? And she was like, nope, there's not anything you don't know. And then I was like, is there someone else? And she gave me the, come on, son, face. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. But she never answered the question.
Ah, okay. A non-denial.
So that kind of lingered for me. So that Monday, a month earlier from today, she was getting ready for work and she was taking a shower. I went in the bathroom and I went to use the bathroom to make sure that she was actually in the shower and I checked her phone. Then I know she doesn't talk on the phone very much, so I went straight to her text messages. And her, and I went in the top thing on the text messages was a name that I recognized. And I went, I didn't know they exchanged numbers.
Ah, so she didn't even put him in under like some other fake name.
Nope. What happened was,
let me ask you this.
After the fact, she said after the fact that she fell asleep and forgot the shit was there. So I looked and I saw the text messages between them. The last conversation that they had was about her going to sleep and, you know, the whole player thing. I'm going to sleep. Oh, I wish we were sleeping beside each other. Wow. Oh, if you were sleeping beside me, you wouldn't be asleep. Wow. I mean, if you were beside me, you wouldn't be asleep. It was that conversation. I scrolled up to see how long the conversation had been going on. And that way I saw the pictures.
Whoa, there were pictures?
Yeah, there were pictures back and forth. There were pictures back and forth. I mean, the shit started with a dick pic from him.
Holy shit. Yo, that is some sleazy shit, because nobody that knows either one of y'all doesn't know y'all are married.
Right. And this person, of course, knows that we're married because he was a friend of ours that we've known for over a year.
And he listened to the show.
And we actually met him in January.
What?
When we went to MAGFest.
Nigga. Oh my God. Oh man. You are handling this shit so much better than I thought.
So when I found out about that, I broke. Broke. Mentally, I just broke down. And I had a thing where, I was so fucked up about it. Like, I came up with this great fucking idea, this brilliant fucking simp ass idea. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I still want my chance to make this work. If it means so much to you, keep him. Just don't get rid of me.
I feel like if we could do alternate timeline Scarfinger that did not get cheated on or emotionally cheated on, however you want to describe it.
Yeah,
it would be clowning Scarfinger that said that.
Yes. Like I said, mentally, once I saw those text messages, I broke. Like, mentally, I just broke. And I was, in that day, when I was telling her, like, look, just keep him. It'll be okay. I'll figure something else out. I just want my chance to turn this around. I was on my knees. I was crying. I was on the floor. Like, I went so low. I was kissing her feet, telling her I was sorry and everything. And I noticed during all of that, like, not once did she ever extend her hand to me.
So she didn't even care.
She was gone. Like, literally, she was gone. So I,
Wait, let me ask you this real quick, too. Now, were you more insulted that she wasn't trying to hide it that much? Because, like, it would be different if, like, maybe somehow she accidentally left her laptop on or something. You found it on Facebook. You're like, well, at least it was a triple word, password protected.
She never expected me to look in her phone. She never expected, because I never felt like I had a reason to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never felt like I had a reason
to. So Shay B was right. Look, fellas, if you listen to this, check your woman's purse, check her phone. If you feel like something's up, man.
Yeah, and to be honest, once I found out, there were a couple of signs that I should have noticed, and I didn't. Like with her, with all of these friendships that she has with the dudes, with the wolves, I call them. Mm-hmm. Her friendships with the wolves, it was always something that I never wanted to be that guy. Like, no, you can't talk to him. You know, I never wanted to be that guy, and I should have.
Yes, always Kaiser Sose, for the record. Like, whenever some shit like this happens, you just start doing the end of Usual Suspects, where you're like, and then this happened, and this, and Orca was on the cup. And then the other thing too, like, as a podcaster, I've had this shit happen with, fans of the show, that like dudes will be way more approachable and friendly to Karen and like cross completely different type of boundaries. And I've had to, you know, we've had to have conversations like, hey, what's up with this guy? You know, what's up with that guy?
There's a lot of guys who listen to, the shows and stuff like that would follow her on Twitter, but wouldn't follow me.
Right.
And like, there's guys who actually said like, shit, I only listen to casual conversation. You know, like, you know, stuff like that. So all that stuff was happening.
And it's weird because you guys are part of the same brand. So it's kind of like branding wise, you know, like I love to hear like, oh, I listen to Lip Smacking Good. It's awesome. Or, I remember we got feedback that was like, Karen talking to this one chick on Lip Smacking Good. It sounded sexy. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But yeah, at the same time, I'm not that guy that is in my head like, well, you can't be asking her about this. Like, I'll fucking ask, you know what I mean? Like, we'll have to have that conversation and we'll cut people off. That's the thing that people don't understand, I think, about love, is that it's always like touted as this like really fucking non-judgmental fairy tale, but the reality is that it's ugly and it only cares about itself and it does what the fuck it has to do and it doesn't really care about anyone on the outside. So if that means a tough conversation about like, yo, why is this nigga like trying to Skype you constantly, then that's what the fuck it's gonna be.
Yeah. And I just didn't want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. And I should have thought better about it. I didn't want to be that guy. And it turns out that one of my online friends has been dirty macking me for years.
For years. Dude, this shit gotta be devastating though, cause now you're not just finding out.
It got pretty bad. Like, yeah. I tried to commit suicide about what, 5 or 6 times?
What?
Uh-huh.
5 or 6 times in the last 3 years?
No, in the last 2 weeks.
Last 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. Holy shit, dude. Like, now I gotta ask, like, how are you trying this thing? And like, and also, like, cause, you know.
It was all kinds of stuff. It was pills. I tried to drown myself a couple of times and all kinds of shit. Like, I grabbed a knife. I was going to man the fuck up and slit my own fucking throat.
Now, what made you not go through these things, or what made you, realize like, yeah, I can't do this?
Her.
Really? So what about
her willingness? And like one of the times I was really going. I was really ready to go. I was at this point to where I was hurting so bad. I just wanted the pain to stop.
Right.
So that's when the first time I went to try to drown myself. Now, I don't swim very much. Mm-hmm. I don't swim very well at all. So I drove to a park around here. It was right on the James River. And I was just going to start at the beach and just take a walk.
And just walk out into the ocean.
Yep. And it just so happens that when I got ready to do it, because I was gone, I had left. We got into an argument and I left her and Pooh Bear. Mm-hmm. And I walked down on her and Pooh Bear. This was after she moved out, because she mm-hmm. already moved out and got her own apartment.
Yeah, I see. You know, that's one of the things she tweets about a lot, stuff kind of like starting over, getting her own apartment and whatnot.
Yeah. I absolutely hate it. I ended up having to unfollow her on everything.
Yo, that's crazy. You have to unfollow your wife. You know what I mean? But I understand why.
I did that recently as a part of my whole, like, it's to the point right now to where everything is just completely out of my control, right, and I have to let it go. But, you know, I was, you know, after she told me she fell for the first guy, shit, I was checking her Twitter daily.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine. I mean, I can imagine, because we have so much access to everyone. So, like, while you guys are going through this, it's kind of like everyone that knows y'all is going through this. You know what I mean? Like, we're all kind of like seeing the internet. It's not like we can help it. And especially on something as public as Twitter or Facebook, like, you're going to see when someone's like, first day in my new apartment, you know, just, so empty and big. It's like, wait a minute. What? You know what I mean? Like, there's no way to read that and go, well, probably everything's okay.
Right. And it was one of those, it was a situation to where it's like, I begged her to make a different choice. Mm. I begged her to choose me. At that time, when it all fell apart, I kept listening to Marriage Fitness. I got from a friend told me to, told me to listen to the Love Dare. I did the Love Dare. I did, the 5 Love Languages. Like, I did all of this stuff and I'm like, hey, I know how to do this now. Like, you know what I mean? We kept fucking this up because neither one of us sought out the actual help that we needed. We did go to a therapy session, because after I tried to kill myself the first time, they took me to this place where I was, where I had to be evaluated whether they were going to keep me or not.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long were you evaluated?
I was there for a couple of hours. I had to talk to two people. The very first time I went, because I went twice. Mm-hmm. Very first time I went, her and I were in the room and we were talking to this black lady, and Sherry was doing the majority of the talking, and the lady kept looking at me like, mm-hmm. So Sherry was doing all of the talking, and she kept looking at me like, mm-hmm. And then once Sherry started talking about my suicide attempt, she was like, oh, hell no, we gonna keep your ass.
But now, how do you convince someone to even let you go? Like, how do you convince someone that you're not going to kill yourself again in 2 hours?
Let me tell you, this is what happened. So in order for me to actually get admitted, I had to talk to an actual doctor. Mm-hmm. And I had to talk to an actual therapist. So I go in that room, and I go in the room and I talk to the therapist by myself. And I tell her about my story. I tell her about the situation, and she cries. Mm. Like, I'm talking to a professional that does this all the time, and she's crying. Mm-hmm. That's how I knew I wasn't crazy. Right. You know what I mean? If she's crying over what I had to say and about how I was feeling, then I can't be wrong here. That's how I felt.
Okay, so that helped you feel like you were you had valid feelings and valid emotions. Now, does that also stop you from being like, all right, well, I don't feel like I need to be taken off of this earth anymore?
Not true. Mm. So I ended up having to, like,
oh wait, did it confirm, like, yeah, man, no, if she crying.
They let me go, and she told me, like, if y'all want to, you know, she's like, if you start having some feelings, or if you just need somebody to talk to, come back. So what was happening to me at that time was, I had asked Sherry to leave, because I asked her to stop this thing, this side thing that she had, and work with me, and she wouldn't. So I was like, well, it's disrespectful as fuck for you to be talking to him in my home. You gotta go.
Okay.
But, you know, where she was going was a friend's house, and it was a really uncomfortable situation for her. So she was like, she went through the whole thing with the apartment or whatever like that. And she asked, can she come back for a week? She'd come back for a week. She'll sleep in Pooh Bear's room, blah, 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 whatever, you know, that type of thing. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm your husband. I don't want to see you in a fucked up position. And, you know, I don't want to see you having to take Pooh Bear in a fucked up position. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, fine. You can come back for this week. And in my mind, you know, I'm like, okay, I got a week to try to convince her to stop this shit.
Wow. You know what I mean? Like, so you're still not like, you're like, I'm fighting it for this shit to death do us part, literally.
Right. You know what? I realized when I started my writing, and I started that blog, I started the blog when she was actually gone. And when, after I went to see the therapist for the first time, actually, I wrote the poem about an hour or so after my last suicide attempt. Mm-hmm. Because what happened was, I tried to drown myself, and like a dumbass, I answered the phone and I talked to her, and she poured out the most emotion I've ever seen anyone pour out for somebody, and she saved my life. Mm-hmm. Because I wouldn't hang up the phone. I was in the water. I was knee deep. I was terrified. I just was like, I can't be here anymore. I don't want to do this. I don't want the pain anymore. This really hurts me. So
when you say you were terrified, what were you terrified of? Because it seems like, to me, if somebody was like, I'm gonna kill myself, then they must have like lost that fear of death or something, like to be like, well, I'm just gonna walk into the ocean.
It's one thing to want to die. It's another thing to be in the process of dying. Mm-hmm. I realized. I mean, seriously, it's one thing to want to die. Another, you know, so I backed away. I went home. The police were called. And, you know, I had to talk to the police, and of course, I'm not going to tell the police I wanted to kill myself. I was like, oh, I just went to the beach. I went for a walk. Mm.
Why were the police there then?
Because she had called the mental institution back.
Oh.
And they couldn't find me. They kept calling my phone. No one knew where I was. Like, she didn't even know where I was until after I decided to turn around. So that happened, and like everything that she expended, like all of that emotion and all of that stuff that she expended really fucked her up. So I spoke to her the next day. And she told me, she basically showed me pictures of like the toll of what letting all of that stuff go did to her physically. Mm. Like her face was swollen, like all kinds of stuff. Like she really gave, like that day, she really gave me everything she had in order to save my life. Because even though she didn't want me to die.
So does that in your mind give you hope? Or does that go?
It started to, and then she showed me what I did to her, and I went back, and I was determined. It was storming out. It was in the middle of the day. It was storming, and I went to I went back to the beach. I sent her a message telling her I was sorry, mm-hmm. and you know, no one else was supposed to get hurt, just me.
Now does part of you, that's what I was going to ask you earlier. Now is part of you with all this feel like, cause I think as an observer looking on the outside, looking in, it seems like a lot of this stuff would hurt her, you know, if she's aware of it, or if she would like hear it or read it, or, you know, and especially like something like suicide, she would definitely feel like that was her.
I wasn't thinking of anyone but myself.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking about her. I wasn't thinking about my child. I wasn't thinking about my family, who had already knew about all of this stuff, and they were really fucked up about it too. Mm-hmm. Because a couple years ago, my mom's side of the family, we lost my grandma and my aunt within like 2 months from each other. So that took a real big toll on the family as far as death goes.
And how did they go out? Was that suicide or something else?
And like my aunt died, and then my grandma just gave up.
Okay. Yeah, because I know there's like people that say like suicide is like a thing that can run in families, and there's a theory of that.
No suicide in the history of the family.
Okay. All right, let's keep the streak going, Scar. I don't want you to not be here, man.
All right. So I went back, and while I was there, I had a conversation with another friend, and I did not know that with all of the stuff that was going on, that they had exchanged information. So I'm sitting there talking to him, getting ready to go do this thing again. And then she calls and she's like, "Where are you?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm at Walmart." Yeah. You know, like, you know, just trying to play it off, because of course, like, I don't want to be in the same situation again for her to have to expend all of that to save my life again.
Right.
And then, like, you know, apparently they had contacted each other, and she pulled up beside me, and we had a short conversation, and I was just like, you know what? I can't do this. I got to go. So I got out of the car. I walked back in the water, and I started walking slow, but I was going.
Now, what is it about that method of taking yourself out that, because that seemed like the least efficient method?
Actually, I felt like it was a little bit poetic, because that was one of her favorite places to hang out.
Oh, so she wouldn't even be able to kick it there no more.
I just thought it was poetic that I would die in her favorite place.
Yeah. I think also like that would probably ruin it. Like it probably become like at least her second favorite place after.
Right. But I wasn't in my right mind.
Right.
So we had a small conversation, and she got out of the car. She got in her car, and I started walking, and I got further than I did before. I got waist deep. And I could feel the tide, because like I said, it was storming. So there was a little bit of a storm surge. So I could feel this thing pushing me, and not too much longer, I was not going to be able to keep standing up.
Mm-hmm.
Then the fucking police showed up, because she called the police, and the police officer was like, "Yeah, I am a great swimmer. You might want to turn around."
Now, is your cell phone getting wet at this point, or no?
No, the second time I left everything in the car.
Oh, okay.
I left everything in the car. I took my pants off. I had no shorts, but I took my pants off, left my shoes and all that kind of stuff, phone, wallet, all that kind of stuff. I left it all in my car.
Man.
So I was there, and then then the police showed up, and then they, I turn around again. Because, you know, of course, my whole thing was I wasn't trying to be kept. Nobody was going to arrest me and nobody was going to put me in a fucking mental institution. And, you know, so all of a sudden I switched. Oh, I was just going for a swim, officer. Mm-hmm. You know, like that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then I just, and, you know, after that, I was just like, my first therapist appointment was the next day.
So was that out of your system at that point?
No, it wasn't. Okay. It wasn't, but talking to the therapist changed a lot for me.
Now, I got to ask too, man, like, you didn't feel like I have to be here for my daughter? Like, what were you
thinking about anybody else except getting rid of the pain. Mm. This shit hurt. And, you know, like, seeing, it's hard to try to, you know, like, when she moved out and stuff like that, the silence. Like, you don't realize how much just fucking silence there is. And when there's so much silence, I was in my own head.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things to where I'm in my own head and that's not a good place to be.
Especially when you're already kind of depressed and, I mean,
right,
you know, throwing on 808 and Heartbreaks or some shit like that, man. It's a wrap.
Totally. I started singing my favorite group, Pentatonix. They have a version of Love Lockdown that I sing all the time. And I sing hard. but yeah, so I just wasn't thinking about anyone but myself. And then being sitting here alone with my thoughts was not a good place to be. I was fine as long as I was trying to keep myself busy. But the moment things stopped, like I can't sleep very much anymore. I wake up, no matter what time I go to sleep, I wake up around 3:30 every day.
Mm.
Every night. I wake up at 3:30 like every night. Like it's almost like clockwork. I wake up at 3:30. I don't know what it is about 3:30, but I just wake up. Like I went to bed at like, you know, like 1 something one day. Woke up at 3:30.
So like, is Pooh Bear staying with you most of the time? With you, like your folks, with her? Like
Well Pooh Bear stays with her the majority of the time.
Okay.
But she does still have her place here, and you know. It was a thing where at first I couldn't really keep Pooh Bear because she had to go to school and I don't know how to do her hair.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook and it was one of the funniest, saddest things I ever, cause I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I would also be totally unprepared to take care of a little girl's hair in the morning.
Yeah, man, I tried to do it one day and that was after I asked Sherry to leave and she had took all of the stuff with her. So I pretty much had to do Pooh Bear's hair one day with my fingers.
Oh man.
And sent her to school like that, and she said she told me she got made fun of, and one of her teachers fixed her hair,
combing her hair with a fork and shit. You're like, hold on, baby, just I can do this.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Yeah, the one of the teachers fixed.
Hey,
her
man,
hair.
There's got to be some YouTube videos for that, right? There's got to be some. Yeah. If not, we need to start the emergency daddy and right. YouTube videos, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I didn't know what to do. And, you know, so, yeah, there was that. Like I said, I didn't really think of anyone but myself. Then I finally got to see my therapist and I told the therapist, you know, my story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't mention that I ended up going back to the mental institution on my own. And then I talked to that lady there. She wanted to admit me, but I ended up making her cry too.
So if you, well, now what is the deal with that? If you make them cry, do they have to let you go? I mean, I don't understand these rules.
They was basically, you know, of course I went to the thing because I was depressed.
Mm.
And I'm thinking somebody might try to give a nigga some pills. Like, I'm not trying to be admitted. You know what I mean? But I think a nigga should, you know, I'm black. I'll do some pills. Fuck the therapy. I just want the pills.
So once they start crying, do they just start writing a prescription with tears on it?
No, I never actually got the pills.
Okay.
Basically just, they were just like, look, I don't, you know, they're basically telling me the story like, look, you're just depressed. You're dealing with a really bad breakup. You don't belong here. Mm. That's basically what they told me both times. We don't think you belong here. So that's basically what happened. But then I started talking to the real therapist. And I told him my story and he didn't say a word. He said absolutely nothing. And, you know, and then I told him the story.
Did you
and
look
then he
at,
was like, all right, we got a few minutes left. Here I go.
So then you looked at his notes and it was like, I don't want to be here. I don't care. You're like, what the fuck, man?
Nah, he, yes, probably. but he, then he started hitting me with what I call the uncomfortable truths.
Mm.
And them shits felt like body blows.
Mm, but like, did you feel like you needed to hear them, or were these just like piling on top of you already?
I felt like I needed to hear them after the fact, and I'll get to that.
Okay.
But he was telling me like, you know, like that her and I are the same. Where I say that she feels like she needs validation and she needs, you know, reassurance. And she wasn't getting it from me. So she looked to the internet and the internet gave it to her. And that's what she craved. And that's why she kept going back to the internet. That's why she kept dealing with the wolves, because she was getting that thing that she wasn't getting from me.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's inauthentic, it's still
even if it's inauthentic, it's real to her.
Right.
And that's the reason why, if you notice her tweets, a lot of them are like, hey, notice me. I'm over here. Roll Tide. Like, there ain't no fucking football games and shit on right now. But yeah, today it was Roll Tide. Go Bama. Like, really, nigga? Like, there's no games on today. Mm. Cut that shit out. But like, it's that validation that she needs. And he told me that I was the exact same, except for where I needed the validation from her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why that led me, you know, because I explained to him what led to each one of those like suicide attempts. And it was like, yeah, what was basically going on is you really wanted her to validate you and she wouldn't. And that's why you felt so low about it.
Mm.
And, you know, and then he hit me with a whole lot of, what I call the uncomfortable truths. Like and you know, like the whole thing about, I say that her whole thing about with her in the current wolf. Is a fairy tale. She's living a fairy tale because by everything that I know about dudes, he doesn't really want her.
Not to mention the internet.
Right. And you know, they haven't gotten to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But as I understand, he hasn't even tried. Like he lives in Baltimore, 3 hours away. It costs a half a tank of gas to get here and hasn't really tried.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he hasn't really tried.
And well, it's also easier to talk a good game. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, do what isn't serious or not. I don't know this motherfucker, but I do think it's, especially on the internet now, like, it's become so fucking easy to say some shit. You know, I've been threatened over the internet, and you know, I've never walked out my house and went, oh my God, is that nigga in the car? Like, it's never.
See, I was thinking, this is the way I was thinking. If that was me in that position and it was somebody that I wanted to be with, as soon as that chick got free of her husband, nigga, I'm on the first thing smoking.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. I feel you. I'm saying I think most people on the internet are full of shit at this point. Like, it's just so much easier to, you know, it's like how we have online petitions now. But right. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah, you have an online petition, but did you still shop at Target last week? Because nobody follows right. you around in real like life.
Everybody hates Walmart until it's time to go shopping.
Exactly. And then you go home and tweet about it, and it's the evilest thing in the world. So, I think the same thing extends to personal relationships, where it's like, girl, if I was there, you wouldn't even have to worry about picking up them groceries. I'll do everything. And then it's like, all right, man, well, can you come help me pick up these groceries? Huh? I was busy. I didn't check my DMs for a while. You know how it is. I didn't have reception. So I think, you know, that's true about a lot of stuff. But what about this though? Do you feel like even if nothing comes of whatever this wolf, this guy, or any of these guys, there's still something she's seeking outside of the relationship, and she still might feel like, you know, she wants to get that from somewhere, someone at some point, you know?
I think it's a situation that can be repaired. It's something that I learned in the five love languages. We didn't speak the same language. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in order for the thing of the five love languages supposed to work, how it's supposed to work is you have to learn your spouse's language. What we did was we both had our own languages and we pretty much just shouted our languages at each other, but we didn't actually try to learn each other's language.
Mm-hmm.
I never, you know, like, you know, if you look at if you put them all in order, I know hers is words of affection, but words of affection to me is next to last. So it's not something that I think of first. And, you know, it's one of the, you know, one of those things. And then, you know, the, in my mind, which, you know, of course, most dudes would be like, physical affection, you know, a physical, you know, physical touch.
Them titties.
But actually, I learned that physical touch is important to me, but it's not as important as quality time. Like, while I was not giving her the words of affection, she was giving me the quality time that I was looking for because we were doing all of this stuff with the show and stuff together. That meant something to me.
Yeah. So, like, how much of this do you feel like happened because you don't know, or you didn't have the time, take the time to actually get to know yourself?
It is 100% the reason why everything kept falling apart, because we kept saying, okay, we're going to try. But neither one of us knew how, and neither one of us sought out how. But it just, you know, it just all started like when I downloaded Marriage Fitness and everything fell apart, I kept listening. And then someone said, oh, you should check out the Love Dare, which is basically is the same type of thing with Marriage Fitness, but it's more Christian based. And, you know, it's backed up through scripture. And then, you know, I was having a conversation with Zabari. Shout out to Zabari, because Zabari was the reason why I even picked up the Black Eyed Tips for the first time.
Shout out to Zabari, man. No doubt. So anybody that needs an app or a arcade video game, go listen to his show because he knows everything.
Right. He was telling me about the five love languages. I downloaded it. And, you know, the five love languages is an audiobook, but it's only like 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like, it's gave me so much. So much. And it explained so much. And I was really able to understand how I fucked this up. And I know how to turn it around. It's just at this point, she's not very receptive to that.
Yeah. Now, did you guys always talk like this? Like when y'all were 15 and y'all got together, did y'all used to argue and like this? And, you know, I know how like it's always funny to me, but obviously I don't live there. But you like, nigga, do this. So motherfucker, what you talking about? And I'm always like, oh, you called his wife motherfucker. And I'm laughing. But, you know, it's like, is that something that y'all have done since you were 15? Or did that kind of creep its way into y'all's communication?
I think it is something that we've done since we were kids. I think we got together, we were two dumbass kids, and we did not know how to sustain love. So as soon as her in love feeling went away, I was never out of love.
Right.
You know, and there was times where I wasn't feeling love from her, but I've never been out of love.
So it's like, so maybe it's like your communication didn't mature with your lives.
Our communication is terrible. It is absolutely terrible, because the only time we actually talked about this stuff, is when one of us was upset. And then like at that point, nobody's listening to anyone. Everybody's just trying to get their point across.
Right. It's the calm conversations that really determine the flow of everything I found, in relationships, man. It's like the ones where somebody's heated or desperate. That's the shit that you say that it might not last. You know what I mean? Like right now you have a hard task to even pull off, because you would have to prove to her that this is a change forever. Not just, I'm desperate, I'm at the end of my rope, so I went and read some books, I talked to some people, I did some therapy. I'm ready to be a different person for the rest of my life, because you still are fighting however many years of history of not being that way.
Right. And that's why I truly believe it's over.
Now, what do you think about people like, cause like I follow both of y'all on Facebook, Twitter, all this shit. I'm, you know, and I observe from a distance, but people DM me, we talk, like everybody sees it. So I was like, man, I guess everybody just scared to say something or to talk to them about it. Cause, you know, my curiosity is more of I'd rather talk to the dude than be like just sitting around wondering shit. You know, it's like, if I can just talk to the brother, maybe everything will be fine or whatever. So like, one of the things I noticed on your Facebook, like you had a post about like, and it was something that I thought was like kind of uplifting, like, you know, took my ring off today, you know, got hollered at by a chick, you know, feeling kind of good. And then like a couple people came in like, you know, yeah, well, you know, that's good. You know, you need to move on anyway, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't say shit because I never want to be the guy who goes, yeah, man, I never liked that motherfucker anyway. And then like a week later, you're like, yeah, so we back together. And
you know, there's been quite a few people that have hit me up, on the low, like through DMs or through, private messages through Facebook and stuff like that. And none of them are really saying that, but they're like, yeah, you know, I just listened to that poem, B. It might be time to go.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like stuff like that.
Yeah, so. I just would never, like, I would be too scared that, because people can get back from some fucked up shit. Like, there's people in relationships right now that went through something where it's just like, that was the craziest fucking thing I've ever heard, but they're together now.
The main two people that I talk to about all of this, and like when I post stuff on the Tumblr, ggrscarfinger@tumblr.com, see, that's the only time you're gonna hear me say that.
I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Don't worry about it.
Before I post anything there, I always run it by them because it's a husband and wife and they've been through something like this before. He neglected her and she started turning to her exes. And they were able to turn that around. They were able to turn that around. And I'm not saying that I listen to all of their advice. Sometimes I get emo and I get pretty stupid. But, you know, those are the people that those are the people that I trust, and I trust with all of this. And, you know, a lot of people give me their advice and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, oh, okay. You know, yeah. but those are the two people that I've really listened to because they've been here and they were able to turn theirs around. And I was optimistic that I was going to be able to turn mine around, but I don't think that's going to happen now.
Well, for the record, I have no advice to give really. I will, other than, I don't want you to kill yourself because, I feel like we are friends. And, I would miss you. And I feel like a lot of people would miss you and stuff like that. And I know reading the blog, I feel uncomfortable commenting on it. So I was just like reading the shit. And I bet you there's a bunch of people who are like, okay, I read that and I'm going to just sit with this and not talk about it. And I'm going to pretend that, everything's cool.
Everything on that blog is completely unfiltered except for one. There was one part of one of the letters that I wrote that I edited out because it was extremely personal. It was extremely personal to, you know, to our situation. And I just couldn't let that be there.
Now, in your mind, do you feel like she is reading these or writing these?
No, I know
these?
She is.
Okay. So when you write these things, are you feeling like this is still a way that I can communicate to you?
I think originally I felt that way. Actually, to be honest, when I first started the blog, I said I had good intentions. And I said that it was about my personal growth and development when it comes to all of this, but really it was about shaming her. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, when I first started,
yeah, that's what I thought, man. When I first read it, I think everyone has the same thought when they read it. Or even if they just follow y'all on Twitter and stuff, is like, oh my God, Sherry must have done something completely horrible and she must be the worst. Like, cause, you know, what you're doing is so open and raw compared to kind of how she's taking it, where it's like, hey, nothing to see here, guys. Let's just, keep this shit moving, you know.
She said that all of this stuff is private and I shouldn't be doing it. My therapist told me he thought it was a good thing because it was actually helping me grow, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback on it. But that's when I realized that I wasn't doing this right, and that's when I decided to remove it from, you know, remove the posts and stuff like that from my Twitter and Facebook. And it's just on the Tumblr page. If you want to go see the Tumblr page, that's fine. But, you know, I won't be out there promoting it like a podcast.
Right. Yeah. Now, speaking of which, I noticed that, you know, you guys had stopped doing shows together, and then, Sherry posted a show, by herself that was about, taking a shower and having sex in the shower. And then another one about something else. And then that was taken down. Like, what were you aware of these?
This is what happened with that.
Okay.
in you know, after all of this stuff happened, we had a good night. I decided that I wanted to take a day because this is when she was preparing to leave. Mm-hmm. I said, I want to take a day and I just want to devote this day to my family. Mm-hmm. And so her and Pooh Bear and myself, we hung out all day. And then, that night, we went out to eat. We went out to eat and we had a great time. And it was a really good time. And she told me that evening, when we were on our way home, there was something that I haven't really said anything to anyone. And she said, that a lot of the times when you think that I'm ignoring you and I'm just sitting on the couch with my laptop and headphones and stuff on, she said, a lot of this time I've been writing. I decided to start writing again. And I was like, okay. And then she was like, I would like to read you some of my writing. So we went home and I sat down and she read me some of her writing. And you know, she started writing erotic stories.
Mm.
And she read me a couple of her stories and I was like, wow, that's really good. And you know, I was really proud of her because of how far she's come in her writing, because her writing in the early days, not so great. Mm-hmm. So I was really proud of like how far she came and the fact that she decided to share that with me. Right. Like, you know, that was something that she said she hadn't shared with anyone and she shared it with me. The next morning, however, she wanted to record one of the stories and put it up. So I produced it for her.
Okay.
Begrudgingly. Like, she didn't realize that while she was recording this thing, I was turned away from her crying.
Oh, man. So you actually had to sit there and listen to her read it and everything.
Right. Because my thing is, if you could have shared this, if you could have shared this with me when it mattered, I could have done something about it. You have these fantasies. Let's do that. Mm. Instead of just, you know, instead of doing things the way that we've been doing, like, let's do that. But at that point, she was already gone. And then I was just like, you know, we could have done something about this. But like, she shared that with me and that was very personal to her and it made me feel great. And then she goes, well, I want to record it and put it out for everybody.
Right. Then all of a sudden it's no longer special to you.
Right. So we do it. So I produced a show for her. She sat there with a laptop and a microphone. I put the music and stuff behind it. You know, I basically edited the whole thing. I put it all together.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine.
So we sat here and we did that. And you know, it really killed me to do that.
Yeah. As someone who edits shows, I know exactly how much detail and time it takes to do that. Right. I can't even imagine. Like, if it's just something I completely am like, no, in my brain as I'm listening, like, well, the sound quality is good. I mean, I'm a professional. I have to do a professional job. I don't want to put out anything that represents the brand in a terrible way, you know?
Right. So then she told me, a few days after that she wanted to do another one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I was honest. I was like, you do realize this actually hurts me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, I mean, obviously she didn't realize I was crying while she was doing the thing the first time. So I was just like, you know, this hurts me, right? And then I was like, you know, I if you want to do it, I guess, you know, like, mm-hmm. I can't really stop you.
Now, before you say that, what about the feedback she got on the first one, that she wrote and like how people were reacting to that? Like, were you on that?
Like really what happened was it got the wolves engaged again.
Yeah, that's what I figured, because if I'm a wolf and I hear a sex like thing, right, coming out of this podcast and it's a solo show with just Sherry, mm-hmm. and I know that you guys are having some issues,
it started getting her that attention she craved again.
Right. Right.
So that it was working on a level. It was working for her. It was not working for me. Mm. So she wanted to record the second show. She tried to record it at home with her laptop mic and it did not work well. It didn't work well. It didn't sound right. Honestly, what really happened is, I was going to hang out with my sisters one day, and while I was gone, she came here and recorded it here.
Oh.
While I was gone, and then put the show up. Now, first of all, the story that she recorded, it sounded like one of the stories that she read me in our private moment, and that really hurt me. But it just, you know, it just, they were a little bit similar.
Mm.
But that really hurt me. And then the fact that she would just decide to come and record that here when she knew I wasn't at home.
Oh, so it wasn't like she coordinated it with you, like, oh, I'm gonna record while you're out.
No.
Oh, okay.
So that did happen.
Is that why I was taken off the feed too?
Yes. Okay. I was not very thrilled about that.
I can imagine.
And I was very hurt by it. And I was like, well, you know, you knew this was going to hurt me, even though you heard me say it, you know, just go ahead. You heard me say, just go ahead. But right before I said, just go ahead, I told you this hurts me.
Mm-hmm.
And you just couldn't stop yourself from doing it anyway. And then that's when she took it down from the site. She took it down from the site and everything. And then she started her own SoundCloud, which she learned about SoundCloud from the Wolf, because he uses SoundCloud. Mm. But that really kind of tweaked me a bit too. And it was just like, you know, I at that point, I'm just like, I can't stop you from doing any of this. But like, when you start doing stuff and you know that you're hurting me by doing it and you can't stop yourself anyway, that's when I know shit's really fucked up. I still kept trying. I still kept trying to talk to her. I was still trying to convince her that the Wolf doesn't care about her. Like, yeah. That's a situation that I
have. Now, do you feel like that would be the end of it, though? Because like, say you convince her, like, this dude ain't shit and he really don't care. Do you feel like that would be like, all right, now we can get back together and we can fix this thing and it'll be fine?
I set a point of no return. Mm-hmm. I set a point of no return. I was like, as long as this shit is on the internet, as long as he stays his ass in Baltimore and you stay your ass in Bad News, I don't have a problem. The moment y'all touch intimately, I'm out and I'm never looking back.
Now, do you feel confident that you'll be able to do that?
Yes.
Okay. So it's just a middle line for you, basically.
It's a line to whereas, you know, no matter what's going on right now, that is still my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she is still someone that I have protected. I've tried to protect her from herself for 18 years. Mm. So, you know, she got to the point where she doesn't want to listen to me anymore. But I'm like, if you do this, that is the point of no return for me, because that's not something that, first of all, none of this shit I would ever do to you.
Right.
But like, the moment y'all touch intimately, I am out and I am never looking back. That is the line for me. And she knows it. I know, I understand that. I think that she still wants to get to him. He's not making very much of an attempt to get to her. And that's why I'm like, this nigga don't really care about you.
Now, do you think y'all got married too young? Does that ever cross your mind?
Now, we got married on our 9th anniversary. We've only been married since 04.
Okay. So it's just, do you ever feel like y'all should have had more experiences outside of each other?
I don't.
Okay.
She's never had another real boyfriend other than me.
So it could be.
I think that propels this, because right. I am what she knows, and she doesn't want to know me.
And also, to an extent, you can feel like I feel like people can feel spoiled without knowing it. You know, because it's like, if you've never really been treated like shit and dogged out and kind of experienced like the negatives and the badness of other people. Like totally, you know, if you never really felt, had that experience in life, you are walking around kind of feeling like, I'll find another dude like you.
And they're both walking away from marriages. They're both catching each other on the rebound.
Mm.
But she doesn't understand the concept of a rebound because she's never been there.
Right. Man. Well, yeah, that's a tough situation. Now, another thing I noticed too, man, you were talking about praying and being religious and stuff. Now I know Scarfinger was openly atheist, said it more than once. Then I see Facebook praying and stuff, and I just said, that is interesting. What's going on with you religiously, bro?
That day when I found out about him and I was on telling her to keep him, don't get rid of me, I fell apart. Mm-hmm. I fell apart. Like I said, I was in front of her. I was kissing her feet. I was telling her everything, like, please, please, please don't do this. All of that stuff. I fell apart. I was boo-hooing. I was crying so loud. Pooh Bear started crying. And I was sitting in front of her, but I was late. I was laid up against the couch.
Now, was it like the black dude from Intervention cry?
Almost.
No way.
It was all, I mean, I was really full on ass crying.
Yeah.
There was a moment where I was crying and all hope was lost and something said, sit your ass up, put your hands together and talk. I don't know what it was. I'm not saying that what, you know, a lot of people will say what I felt was God, but I don't know what it is. And I started praying and the praying made me feel better, but I don't know whether it's because, I mean, to be honest, I tell people that I'm atheist. I'm really agnostic. I don't really know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know? I feel like that's
but it's hard to explain agnosticism to people who are Christians. Like, right. I don't want to have to explain that to people. But so I just say, look, I'm atheist. I don't believe nothing. Get out of my face. But it's one of those situations. I just don't know. I've never felt God. A lot of people would say I felt him in that moment. But look, something just said, put your hands together and pray. So sitting there in front of her on my knees, bawling, crying, I put my hands together and I prayed for the first time since 07, I believe.
Now, I didn't want to tell you this, Gar, but it was me. You still had your Xbox on, and I came to an Xbox party, and I was like, I just heard the Epic Slave cry, and I said, hey, man, sit up and start, put your hands together.
Yeah, so I started praying. I don't think I'm going to show up in a church anytime soon. Mm. But I do pray, and then I do talk to a supreme being. I don't know whether it's it makes me feel better because I'm just saying my feelings and everything out loud. I'm not asking for anything specific. I'm just asking for understanding. I'm asking for some sort of clarity, a way to see through all of this. And I'm praying for her. Right. That she could find her way. And if
even if possible, that way is not with you, would you be like, I'm still happy and content with that?
I think so. I mean, okay. It hurts me and it all hurts. But at the end of the day, I wanted to be able to let go at some point because she obviously is gone and she's not coming back. So there's a part of me that just has to be like, look, I got to let go here. So supreme being, help me let go.
Okay. So, you know, I've kept you kind of long here, so I got to wrap up. So let me ask you this one question. Mm-hmm. What does, you know, let's say your ultimatum is hit and it's like, you just reach a point in time where you're like, okay, it's over. I have to move on. We're not going to be able to work this out. And what does that look like for your life? Like, what point do you decide to get back on these hoes?
Well, first of all, that happened this morning.
Okay. So y'all already...
that happened this morning. Like, we had a situation and, I kind of wrote my resignation letter from my fairy tale. Because like, let's say she has a fairy tale about him. And obviously I have a fairy tale about her, that I had to walk away from. But at this point, it's trying to figure out who I am. Who I am, you know, that's another one of the uncomfortable truths is, you know, I relied on her for so much. I also relied on her for being, for existing. I was a member of my family. I was a husband and I was a father. Before I was anything else, I'm a husband and I'm a father. And when she left, I said this over and over again in my writing and in real life to her. I told her that when you leave, you take everything from me. And it's the truth, because when I'm sitting here by myself, and when I start sitting here by myself, I'm like, well, who the fuck is Michael Corbin?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, of course, I know who the Scarfinger is.
But a lot of what you're going through is a struggle for your own identity. And maybe even in your pursuit of her, that's really what you're trying to get back is your identity. Yes. And all in a strange way, avoid change, you know, because even just as a person in a long-term relationship, I think to me, I'm not saying it's unrepairable, but you're at a point where no matter what happens, there's going to be serious change, no matter how it works out. And you can't avoid it, and what it looks like. And I don't know how you, avoid things like resentment and, all this other, these other issues.
Lots of therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have to be, man. Like, it would have to be, dude. I can't imagine, like, all right, well, it's Monday. We're back to normal, honey. Mwah. See you at work. You know, I can't imagine it.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, originally, like I said, after the first dude, I just kind of thought it was, I thought it was on me. And so I took it all internal and I was like, I got to turn this shit around. I got to do something about it. But now I'm just like, I really want this to turn around.
Yeah.
I really do. But as I said, I'm going to be here. I'm right here. I mean, her apartment is really literally in the apartment complex and right behind the building where I live.
So, oh my God.
So it's not like, you know.
So like sometimes you just go out and you see her like driving to work and shit.
I ain't really paying that much attention.
Okay. I'm just wondering. Cause like, if you live that close, it's like, I go to Harris Teeter and then it's just like, my wife's in there. It's going to be like, God damn. I guess I go to the fruit section until you're done.
Right. But it's not that type of situation. I mean, of course we do have to have, you know, some kind of contact with each other because of the kid.
Right.
You know? So it's just, in order for me not to feel those feelings, that's why I started writing and I started getting all of my feelings out. Because the longer I sit here in my own mind, I think of doing something incredibly stupid.
Yeah, man, I don't want you to. I'm telling you.
So it was just like, okay, I have to do something. He suggested writing. Originally, the day before I saw my therapist is when I felt so strongly, I wrote that poem and I wrote that spoken word. You know what I mean? And I just felt it that day. And, you know, and people have told me that looked at the blog, they said that they like my writing and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, that's great, but that's not why I do it. I do it because it makes me feel better. And I also want to show anybody else going through this because so many people have hit me up, was like, man, I'm going through it too. And so many people have hit me up and was like, I appreciate what you're doing because, you know, a lot of these people are suffering in silence.
Well, there's a whole community. Look, over half of marriages don't fucking work out. Like, that's why I'm saying don't let it be the end of you, because, like, this shit is common. Like, it would be like if I said, yo, man, I'm going to kill myself because I lost my job. You'd be like, niggas lose their job every day, B. And it's like, yeah, man, but it was my job. You're like, I get that, but I feel like Scarfinger from a year ago would be like, man, you acting like a bitch, right? Get it together. You know what I mean? So it's like, you got to get it together, man. You can't not be here because of this shit, dude. And, you know, like, and that's one thing that I am good. I'm glad to see that you're writing about it and being open about it, because I feel like it's good. Like, it's better to share and know that you have solidarity in sharing. That's one of the reasons I invite you on the show today, too, to be like, yo, people care, man. And people see it. Not everybody knows what to say because it's a weird situation, but don't feel like, well, I'm out here alone and nobody gives a fuck and everything's the worst. Like that. Bro,
that's how she feels. That's not me. That's how she feels.
Well, I guess I gotta have her on next week or something.
Yeah. Everybody has been really like very supportive of me and my writing and stuff like that. And a lot of people aren't speaking to her. So
that's, yeah, people pick sides and shit. I don't even know. Like, I'm trying not to even pick sides. Like, as much as I dig what you're saying, and I hear you, man. I still can't hate Sherry, and I can't not like Sherry, because she's a good person to me.
I don't hate her either. Like, yeah. You know, like, regardless of
that is, hey, but isn't that ironic, though? It's like, I don't hate her, and then people are like, yo, man, fuck her. Okay, first of all, it's like, hey, dog, I don't hate her. I hope we get back together. No, what I'm saying is that bitch can go to hell, right? Yeah. We agree.
Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. Like, I'm over here, I don't really hate her, you need to leave that bitch alone. I don't hate her.
Yeah, especially, right? Especially you have like you say, you have sisters and shit. You know how protective, you know, how women are, their family members. I guarantee they said some ether that you just like, yeah, this does not need to be spoken to everyone. So,
I can't say what I could say. I can't say anything. Just know, I've heard quite a bit of things. And quite a bit of things have happened behind the scenes without me knowing until after it was done.
Oh Lord, no. I guess I will check on Sherry and make sure she's okay. I don't want her to be dead.
She's fine. Nobody's gonna do anything to her. All because right. no matter what, at the
y'all end are of, from bad news though. So I gotta ask.
At the end of it all, there's still a child involved. So exactly. Neither one of us can really take this shit too far in, you know, being ugly towards each other because, you know, she was already fucked up by the arguing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the arguing and stuff really bothered her. And she was telling everybody who would listen, like, mommy and daddy argue all the time, you know, and it scares me, like that type of thing.
Cause kids are way more perceptive than they're given credit for, even at a young age.
Yes, very much so.
So they pick up on all this shit, man. You gotta be, you know, the father there for your child, man, because every man that she encounters from that point on, you were the training ground, you know? So it's definitely, you know, something to that.
Yeah. I actually, just to do something nice for her, I decided that I wanted to make her a painting. I bought some stuff and I made her a painting.
It's not you walking into the ocean, is it?
No.
Okay.
It's an abstract painting. I'm gonna put it up. Eventually, I'm gonna put it up. Maybe I put it on the Tumblr. Maybe I will put it up on Geeks Gone Raw site. But I'm really kind of proud of my painting. Like I've never painted anything before, so it's been an adventure. I wanted to do something nice for her, for my daughter. You know, and I wanted her to put it in her room over there.
Right.
You know, just so when she's over there, she still got something of me with her and something that I thought of her for, you know?
Well, it seems like you really have taken to being able to open up with your emotions and, like, realizing, you know, like, a lot of dudes don't even get that, you know what I mean? So it's actually kind of cool that you feel open and hopefully that does pour over into your relationship with your daughter because that would be a cool dad to have.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Well, look, I, you know, obviously I made a promise to the audience a long time ago. I cannot invite you and Sherry on the Blackout Tip separately, as that would be crazy. But at the same time, I don't want you to hurt yourself or anything. So I will extend this promise. I will only keep inviting you back on the Nerd Off if you promise not to kill yourself. Like if you kill yourself, I'm not inviting you on, dog. I will not invite any dead people on to the show. That is a promise. So
okay, I think that works for me. I have no plans on actually doing anything to harm myself at this point. I'm no longer just thinking of myself.
All right,
I'm really not about that life anymore.
Cool. I'll keep you on the guest list then, because you know, I don't want no salt water on my video games. It fucks up my Xbox One. all right, man, this has been another episode of Medium Talk. Of course, you can find Scarfinger. He's on Twitter at Scarfinger. You can find his Tumblr, and I'll have a link to it on the show notes. But also don't forget geeksgoneraw.com, where you can go find out everything that, you know, Scar is into with video games and all his other geeks that he has collected, like, Ash Ketchum. Throughout the years, you can go find all that stuff. I appreciate it, man. You know, until next time, peace out, y'all.